After that, God. All right, one more funny story. So I used to teach swimming for years. It was a good way that my kids got free swimming lessons. And along came Cassie. Cassie broke. She's my youngest. She's 10 years younger than Sherry. I don't know, whatever, something like that. And Cassie broke all the rules. She pushed, you know, if you said you could have a yard, Cassie pushed it a mile. If you said don't, Cassie had already did it. Before you got the, I said don't. So when I was teaching swimming, she was in my class, and I had one rule. Now, these are kids that are under 5 that can't swim. So the one rule, if you can't swim, is you have to have one hand on the wall. No-brainer, right? No-brainer. It's a good thing because, I'd turn around, and I'd look in the bottom, and there are bubbles coming from the bottom of the pool. I'd yank that kid up, stick her on the side. I said, Cass, you need to have one hand on the wall. So this went over and over for a couple of weeks, and Cassie was going to drown. I was going to rip her hair out or something. And my boss, Lynn, came in, and she said, she's in my class now. We're done with you. That kid followed everything Lynn said. Never drown. Kids, I love telling these stories, but at the time, they were not funny, are they? How many of you have been through kids? How many are you going through kids? Tell me your funny stories, and I'll tell them. All right, how about we pray? Just thought I'd get everybody up here. Father God, we give you praise. We give you thanksgiving that you have given us Jesus. You have given us the Word. You have loved us endlessly. We thank you, Father, that your Word brings light. And we welcome your light of your Word in our hearts, in our life today, so that we can see better, we can go farther, we can be all that you have destined for us through your Word. And we believe this by faith in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay. We'll start that. How many of you remember a TV show a couple years ago? And, as I get older, my couple of years gets longer. But how many of you remember a TV show a couple of years ago called The Fear Factor? The Fear Factor would take only the young and buff, all right? And they'd have them on a 30-story building crossing an I-beam, and you're like, ha! All right? They'd have them hanging from helicopters, swinging over a swamp. They'd have them, this one. Creep me out. They'd lay them in like a clear glass box/coffin, and you could see them. And the creepy crawly spiders, bugs, snakes would crawl over them and their face and look like they're going to go up their nose. All right. And the final one is they would make smoothies for these people, these young and buff people to drink. They're not the smoothie that I make in the morning. They're like ground up pureed cowball eyes and worms and cockroaches and stuff like that. How many remember that show? I loved it. I was having an adrenaline rush and hanging onto my pillow half the time, biting it. It was sort of addicting. It was sort of addicting, but thousands of people watched it. And the thing about it is we were watching people defy their fears. And we loved it because I wasn't getting on that thing. We were watching people defy their fears. So I'm doing a series on fear. Oh, that sounds depressing. No, I want to talk about fear a little bit today because it can sneak in and all of a sudden bite you in the butt. Like Stacy. Probably should delete that from the recording here. Okay. But let me tell you about defying fears. I have a friend. She and her husband pastor a large church out in the West, and her name is Beth, and they were doing their annual alternative to Halloween party. Only thing, they're a big church. They do it big. So guess what they had? A climbing wall. How many of you know what a climbing wall is, like a rock climbing wall? Okay, for those of you that don't, how tall is that thingamajigger? Up to there. All right, that's where they rented one. And it's got these little plastic thingies that you grip onto. Don't you love my vocabulary, thingies? Okay. And you're supposed to climb it up, climb up of it. So Beth, and I've known Beth for a while, and she is kind of fearless. She really is. She's a big personality, big smile, big personality in your face. Be on her team. Your life's wonderful. So here we have this rock climbing wall thing going on, and she decides she's going to climb it. So she gets all harnessed up. They wrap these harnesses around you, you know, and they rope you up here. And she's thinking, you know, this can't be too hard. This can't be too hard. And she starts, puts her first hand on one of those grippy thingies. And she looks around, and her four teenage kids are around her. Her husband is around her, and half the church is around her. And then she's thinking, you know, this might not have been such a good idea. But, you know, they harnessed you up. So she's like, okay, whatever. No problem. I can do this. So she starts climbing. She does six steps up. All right? And all of a sudden, fear hits her. And she said she froze. Do you know fear will freeze you? She says, the only problem is the only thing that wasn't frozen were my legs. They had So I wish she was here to tell you the story, so I'm going to do my best. Okay, so she said, I'm hanging, and it's about that time. She's about halfway up the wall. And she's going, don't look down, don't look down, don't look down. That's okay. Then she looked up, and she thought, oh, dear Jesus, I got a mile more to go. And she's stuck in fear. And then on top of it, she's got half the church watching you and your kids. I don't care how old they are. They just, come on, mama. Come on, mama. You can do it. Mama, you can do it. And she's like, ring that stinking bell. Cause at the top, you're supposed to ring the bell. Like, what am I doing? What am I doing? And she said, all of a sudden, I heard this man's voice at the bottom. The guy who harnessed me in, who's holding the rope attached to this harness. And he's saying, ma'am, I've got you. I've got you, ma'am. Now, to you, it doesn't mean anything. But at that point, he pulls a little tug on the rope where she's up, and she could feel it. I got you, ma'am. So this is just ringing in her head. And she's like, you know, okay, I'm glad you got me, but I don't know about this. And then he pulls real hard. He says, I got you, ma'am. Come on. Come on. So she lifts one leg, and she could feel the tug. And she grabs this, and then she'd feel another tug, and she'd lift. And all of a sudden she gets to the top, and she rings that stinking bell, as she said. I rang that bell. But she said, you know, after about two tugs, I realized that somebody had me in their grips, and I was safe, and fear slowly left, and peace came in. And she rang the stinking bell. Okay. Now, sometimes in our life, we are climbing walls, and it gets scary. Life sometimes gets scary. All right? But listen, I want to encourage you, because when you know, like we were singing one of those songs, you know, when you know the love of Almighty God, when you know that He has a grip on your rope, that He will lead you from victory to victory through some scary things, then you can ring the bell. Okay? So today I pray, this is my prayer, it's like, God, you know, some of you, I know you. I mean, I know you because I know you for a long time, and you've shared some intimate things. And sometimes it's just God just putting you before me, or better yet, your wife tells me what's going on. So I'm praying that today the word of God, the words that the Lord's just put in my heart to share, will help you see and know that God loves you, and He will carry you over, and you do not have to walk in this fear. Matter of fact, you can walk out of it and through and to the finish line. I pray that for you in Jesus' name. So, you know, we live in a crazy time. It's crazy out there. I'm telling you, there are so many people that are just worried about every little thing, every big thing. They've got anxieties. They've got panic. They've got, they're just scared. Okay? And the more I, and of course, nobody here It's nobody here. It's just everybody else, right? Okay. So the more I see people, I see that they're struggling in anxieties, fear, and phobias. Guys, you want to pass out that sheet. I'm going to keep talking. I have a sheet. I know you're going to get distracted as soon as you have it, but just close it. Don't look at it. I have a sheet of piece of paper we're going to go over in a couple minutes. But, you know, sometimes these anxieties, these fears and phobias come because of things that have happened in your life. Maybe you've had sexual abuse, mental abuse, even spiritual abuse. You can get into those, tumble into those fears, anxieties and phobia, okay? Sometimes it's, they're just mental and emotional issues that have happened in your life. And they come and they steal your peace. And next thing you know, I'm sitting in the fear bucket, okay? You know, those things, those fears and anxieties from circumstances, they can keep you bound. They can keep you stuck on that wall, frozen, all right? And so much so, it's really interesting. People are afraid to die and people are afraid to live. You think about it because of just the, just watch the news, all right? Now, I know you all got distracted. I saw you doing that. Okay, close it. Don't look at it. Two more seconds here. All right. So I just want to say, if you're frustrated and worn out in fear, I want to tell you God has an answer for you. God always has an answer. And you don't have to live a life stuck on the wall in anxiety, fear, or phobias, okay? And you know why? Because Jesus told us. I mean, you can listen to me, but don't always listen to me. Listen to Jesus. And he said over and over and over in the Gospels, what does he say? Fear not. Don't be anxious. Don't be afraid. He says it over and over, one way or another. Okay? Now, so my question today, is it possible? Is it possible to not have fear? All right. Is it possible? Listen, we live in a very dangerous world. We've got terrorism going on. We've got tsunamis. They're calling for hail balls and, you know, just it's just crazy world out there. So is it possible to live free from fear? That's my question. And my answer today is yes. Yes, it is. And we're going to see what Jesus says. So I'm going to talk about one of the most common, actually, I believe sometimes it's the root of a lot of the fears that are stuck on top of people. So I'm going to give you what the word says on how to overcome and get out of that. That's my purpose today. So now you can look at your handout. Here we go. Turn to the side that says, are you afraid, anxious, or phobic? Check them as we go. If you don't have a pen, there should be some in front of you. I'm going to go through them fast. You can finish them later if I talk too fast, because I do. All right. See if they apply to you, or maybe you just don't have any of this stuff, and you can name a spouse that's got them. All right. So number one, I worry a lot. I have frequently anxiety and panic attacks. The news makes me fearful. I'm afraid of the future. I'll tell you personally, just really transparent. After Jack passed away and went home to be with Jesus, that one tried biting me in the, you know what, a lot. I had to work at finding what God said about my life. Yep. Okay, social phobias. I know people, they don't leave their house. I've got this guy I went to college with. I thought he was a big personality, and I ran into him about 10 years ago, and he's like, I can't go to the mall. I just get phobias being in big social things. Fear. I'm nervous a lot. I usually expect the worst. I'm afraid for my children's safety. I worry my spouse will have an affair. I'm afraid for my own safety. I fear change. Fear change. Well, Dolores and I go, we recite over and over, I love change, 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 I love change. Because people can have fear of change. Anybody saying amen? Yeah. I live in fear because of my past experiences. Man, I see people that I'm going, really? That happened 30 years ago. Fear will freeze you on the wall. Okay, I'm afraid to die. I'm anxious about driving. I have a friend. She's afraid of, she's a little Jewish girl, afraid of driving over bridges. and she lives in North Jersey. You can't go into Manhattan unless you go through the tunnel. You can't go to the beach unless you go over the bridge. I was like, are you kidding me? I got a good friend. We have to medicate her to get her on an airplane. She just gets medicated, and she's like, okay, we can take off now. Okay. Try getting her off the plane if you take too many of those. All right, fear of flying, fear of speaking. People, fear of speaking. I'm going to close my eyes because I'm not going to look at anybody. I don't know how many people I said, could you do the announcements? Oh, no, I'd have to talk in front of everybody. Yeah. All right. Uh-huh. All right. Obsessive compulsive areas in my life, struggle with addictions. I worry about my children will not be successful in school. Okay, I'm not going to read the rest. All right. Anybody identify with some of those? Yep. Okay. The back one. Where did I do my back page? You guys have back page. This is just a partial list I went online and cut and paste. Okay. And I forgot where I got it, so I probably get in trouble because you're supposed to post all these things. But anyway, a partial list of phobias. But listen, before you go through any more of this, I want you to be encouraged that Jesus came so you don't have to live with this in your life. That's how, listen, this is how big God loves you, that you don't have to stay stuck on the wall, okay? And he will help you out of this into something better, all right? Okay, I can't even pronounce half the names of these phobia things. So fear of washing or bathing. That's not nice. Fear of darkness, okay? Man, I used to nip that in the butt when my kids were little. They'd come in, Mom, I'm afraid of the dark. Sit yourself down. We're going to go over the word. You are not afraid of the dark. You're the child of light. The light is coming out of you. And I'd just go off and they'd go, Mom, can I come in bed with you, please? Okay. Fear of heights. Fear of insanity. Fear of sex abuse. Fear of cats. Okay, won't go there. Fear of men. Fear of people or society, fear of staying single, fear of peanut butter sticking on the roof of your mouth. You laugh, but somebody is stuck on the wall with that. These are real things. Oh, my gosh. Fear of flying, fear of books. Yeah, you did great in school. Fear of ugliness, fear of beautiful women, fear of confidence, confined spaces, fear of the dentist, fear of going to school. Tell your kids that's not theirs. All right. If they toss that one at you, you say, ha, no way. Okay. Fear of church. I guess that's what happened today. Got people afraid of church. Oh, my gosh. Fear of mirrors. Fear of teenagers. Gosh. Fear of marriage. Fear of laughter. Fear of sex. Fear of growing old. Speaking in public. Okay. Fear of blood. I'm skipping around. Fear of sermons. Yep. That's sad. Know anybody? All right. Fear of cooking. I have a friend that tried using that excuse. Doesn't work. Fear of being contaminated by dirty germs. Fear of your stepmother. Fear of your mother-in-law. Fear of phobias. Fear of thinking, blah, blah, blah. Okay. Have fun with that. All right. All righty. Now, put those away. Don't highlight them and shove them at your spouse. But listen, you know what? Every one of those things on that piece of paper is a lie. Everybody say lie. Lie. It's a lie from the enemy. Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So he wants to lie to you so you'll freeze on the wall and you'll be paralyzed. It is mind-boggling. It is sad. It makes me weep when I see somebody stuck in fear. And God has got this great hope in a future. And they are living on their past. Now listen, I do not discount some people's past. Tragic abuse. Tragic. I want to get a gun and shoot the person that did it, but I'm not allowed to anymore. I'm born again. Okay. And then I want to vomit because they've violated children. But this happened 30 years ago and they get stuck in their past. Jesus knows that and he will bring you through to something bright and amazing, and he'll heal and he'll bring you forward. So that, yes, this list is actually kind of negative, but I want you to know those are lies and God has something awesome. All right. God doesn't want any of his children to live in bondage. He doesn't want you fear stuck on the wall of your life. He is so compassionate. God is so compassionate. And he doesn't go, well, honey, get your act together. That's the stupidest thing. No, God is compassionate and always knows the things that we are going to walk, that we're in, and he wants to walk us out. Hallelujah. All right. Now, I have a question. How many of you have either said this to someone or someone has said it to you? Ready? Here we go. What do you want to be when you grow up? Okay, this is a funny one. So it must have been, we were about five, Jesse was about five. And we must have been at the end of the summer and we had crabs. So you know what Jesse said what he wanted to be when he grew up? I want to sell crabs. I said, oh, and then what next? All right, so I'm going to ask you, what do you want to be when you grow up? Okay, I want to be a doctor, lawyer, Indian chief, sell crabs. Okay, now, what next? Oh, okay, I want to go to college. Okay, good. What next? I want to get married. Good. What next? I want to have kids. What next? I want to raise them. Yeah, you better. Good. Okay. What next? I want to make a lot of money. You know, I want to make a lot of money too. Don't ever poo-poo that, because you want to borrow my money if you don't want to. Yeah. Okay. Then I'm going to say, what next? Okay, well, you know, I got this great job. I got money. I got a wife. Okay, what next? Oh, I want to retire someday. Okay, what next? What next? Now, I tend to be a good planner in a bunch of areas. Anybody a good planner? Yeah, like you got lists and you're planning this. And then I found out I'm not so good in some areas, okay? But a lot of people can't answer after you retire and you get old. What next? What next? What next when you're 6 feet under and you're dead? Someday you're going to die. What next? Oh, it's quiet in this place. All right. So a lot of people haven't planned for afterlife. Yep. No, I'm not talking about did you leave a life insurance plan, okay? Not talking that. Gosh. All right. What next? All right. So today I want to talk probably, this is our start off, kickoff, and it'll get better. I want to talk about probably the greatest fear that that people have is the fear of death. Mm-hmm. Now, a lot of people will flat out, they'll say, yes, Pastor D, I am afraid of dying. Okay, they'll be really open and honest. And then you'll run across people who will say, well, you know, whatever. But I tell you what, you get them and you really start picking at that, whatever. And you'll find out if they don't know, they're scared of dying. They're scared of dying. Okay, how many of you have been to a funeral for a high school student? Either it was in a car accident or suicide. Those kids that are like, you know, whatever. Okay, I've been to quite a few of them. And you walk in that place and kids, it rocks them. Okay, now, the girls are a little emotional, okay. But why does it rock them? What's the real problem there? They've never thought about life after death. And those that don't have the right answer, it scares them. You can see him. Margie does these things. Margie's a chaplain for hospice. So she sees a lot of people on their deathbed. I probably should have quoted you on some of these things. But you'll see that look in their face. And I can tell now, finally paying attention, I can tell now, they're not upset so much that this person has died. They're scared because they don't know life after death. All right? So some of you already have the answer to this. And I'm really tickled pink. Some of you may not. And you might be here sitting here say, Pastor D, I really, I'm a little scared about that answer. If you're here and you already know the answer, and you could probably finish my message. But I want to tell you, you know the answer because you are to minister to people. You are to, when you see that look on them, you grab them and you sit them down. Say, honey, sit down right here. We're going to take care of that fear. All right, so you take down, now I'm going to give you a bunch of scriptures. You get these scriptures, you write them. I have a cheat sheet in my, not this Bible. I write down my cheat sheet on leading people to the Lord, on healing scriptures. You write these on the inside of your Bible, and you will be able to take people that are gripped in fear and walk them out of it because they are afraid of dying. All right, now, All right. And of course, when you run up to somebody and I say, are you afraid of dying? And they quickly say, oh, no, because Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life. And they are so confident that when they die someday, they are going on to spend it before their Savior forever. And they just smile. Some of them even get giggly laugh. I'm at that stage. Okay. I just like, it'll be great. Can't wait. You know, it's okay. But not everybody's like that. So, question, is there life after death? Is death the end or is death the beginning? Yes. Okay. All right. But not everybody knows that. Listen, they got some people have goofy reasons, unbiblical reasons for what they call life after death. Okay. Some people teach life after death. You die. Kaput, dead. Dead as a dog. That's it. Period. End. My friend, June, who I was talking about, she had this conversation with her son, who was raised in church, so when he was in high school. And he says, oh, Ma, we're just dead as a dog. Man, you should have seen June go after him, all right? Some people believe that. Some people believe in reincarnation. Reincarnation. There's whole religions that believe that. First time I heard that, well, I heard it growing up, but then somebody told it to me later on, and I thought, there is no way. That means when you reincarnate, you come back as another person, another animal, another bug, depending on your life. And I thought, the worst thing would be to come back as a teenager again. Oh my God. I was like, I don't believe that. That was rough. So I was like, I'm not believing in that, okay? Some people believe hell is actually a place, and it's going to be a big party. I was like, oh, you're a big surprise, okay? And then we even have radical groups that believe in afterlife. And they believe if for their cause, if they do a suicide and homicide missions, that when they die, because they did that, they get to hang out with all the virgins and have sex. Like, you're in for a surprise. All right. People have all sorts of goofy things about life after death that are not Bible, right? And then I just have to throw this in. And then you have people who believe in life after death, and they want to help comfort you because somebody you know has passed away. And they are like, oh, your little baby died. God needed another little angel. I hate that. Thank you. I hate that. First off, God's not making no more angels. All right? He creates people. All the angels are the angels. He didn't. It's stupid. They don't know their Bible. All right. So my sister would. Oh, never mind. Don't go there. Okay. Stupid. Okay. Another one is God. Okay. This one. Really? God was lonely. He needed your loved one in heaven. It was like goofy. Goof, bad. All right. So stupid things out there. All right. Probably not supposed to say stupid so often. All righty. So anyway, people have really interesting ideas of life after death. I'm going to read you a couple of things that I got out of an article about people's deathbed conversations. And I'll tell you what, you can find out what they believe and where they think they're going. Okay. Winston Churchill. He wrote on his deathbed, I'm bored with it all. Slipped into a coma and died. What a great last couple words before you die. I like that guy, Winston Churchill, though. I don't like really. Okay, Charles Darwin. This is interesting. You could read this two ways. I'm not the least afraid to die. We'll see. King Louis the XV11. Okay, King Louis of France. A king should die standing. Oh, buddy, you're going for it. Real humble. Yeah. Right. Okay. Karl Marx. Go on. This is what he said to his housekeeper, who urged him to give his last words so she could write them down for posterity. Go on. Get out. Last words are for fools who haven't said enough. Oh, God. All right. Edgar Allan Poe. He's creepy stuff. Okay. Ugh. All right. Lord, help my poor soul. So you wonder. All right. George Washington. I die hard, but I'm not afraid to go. Wonder who is. Okay. Woodrow Wilson, our president, back in 1924. I'm ready. That's good. I'm ready. All right. John Knox and John Wesley. These are, and Charles Wesley. Incredible Christian men. Okay. John Knox. Live in Christ, and the flesh need not fear death. All right. John Wesley. The best of all is God is with us. Farewell. Gee whiz. That's great. Charles Wesley. I shall be satisfied with thy likeness. I shall be satisfied. I shall be satisfied. I think they welcomed the afterlife, those last bunch. The other guys, surprise, surprise, surprise. Amen. Okay. One thing, you guys, we all know for sure, 100% we know for sure, we're going to die someday, right? Was it 2 years ago? Maybe it's last summer. I ran across an old friend of Jack's and mine. He and his wife, we used to run around. Good stuff, run around. We were Christians. But I haven't seen him in about 10 years. And it was really interesting to see him. His name is Joe. And his countenance was really different. He was just kind of smiling. And, of course, he knew Jack passed away. And he says, Dee, I have this book I want to give you. I was like, if I get one more book of what heaven's like, fine, okay. But so... yeah, that was fun. Okay, the book was written by a cardiologist called Dr. Maurice Rowings, and it's called Beyond Death's Doors. And this doctor, a cardiologist, gives stories of how resuscitating tons of people, resuscitating, then they come back to life. And I want to read a couple things about it, and then we're going to go hit our scriptures, all right? Here's what he says. His book is interviewing a bunch of patients who died and they resuscitated. And he started listening to what they said, and he started writing them down. And here's what he said. More and more of my patients who are recovering from a serious illness tell me there is life after death. There is heaven and hell. And I always thought death was a painless extinction. I had bet my life on it. But now I have to reconsider my own destiny, and what I have found out isn't good. I found it really may be not safe to die. That was the turning point in my thinking. Okay, he tells about a patient. I'm going to kind of jump part. He tells about a patient who came in just for the regular stress test. You know, when they hook you up, they make you do the what's it called, machine? Thank you, treadmill, all right? So this guy, they hook him up. He's 48 years old, male, white, from a rural area. And all of a sudden, things go haywire, and his heart stopped. He had cardiac arrest and dropped right there in the office. While I started external heart massages by pushing on his chest, one nurse initiated mouth-to-mouth breathing. Another nurse found a breathing mask. Another nurse brought an emergency cart containing a pacemaker equipment. Unfortunately, the heart would not maintain its own. A complete heart block had occurred. I had to insert a pacemaker. Well, that's really great in the office there. And the patient began to come to. Each time he regained a heartbeat and respiration, the patient screamed, "I'm in hell!" He was terrified and pleaded with me to help him. I was scared to death. In fact, this episode literally scared the hell out of me. He then insisted a very strange, please don't stop. Please don't stop. Then I noticed a genuine alarm look on his face. He had a terrified look, worse than the expression in death. This patient had a grotesque grimace expressing sheer horror. His pupils were dilated. He was perspiring. He was trembling. And he said, "You don't understand. You don't understand. I'm in hell. And each time you quit, I go back to hell. Don't let them go. Don't let me go back to hell." By this time, the patient had experienced 3 or 4 episodes of complete unconsciousness, clinical death, both heart and breathing stop. Finally, one more time, he says, how do I stay out of hell? I told him, I guess it's the same principle I learned in Sunday school. I guess Jesus would be the one whom you should ask to save you. Then he said, I don't know how. Pray for me, pray for me, pray for me. What nerve, I told him that I was a doctor. He said, oh, hey, buddy, I'm a doctor. I'm not a preacher. And the guy screamed, pray for me, pray for me, pray for me. So I had him repeat these words after me as I worked right there on the floor. It was a very simple prayer because I did not know much about praying. It went something like this. Lord Jesus, I ask you to keep me out of hell. Forgive me my sins. I turn my life over to you. If I die, I want to go to heaven and live and be hooked with you forever. All right. The patient's condition finally stabilized. He was then transported to a hospital. I went home and dusted off my Bible and started to read it. This doctor wrote story after story like this, just interviewing. And it changed him because sometimes we just think, you die, it's no big deal. But it caused him to think. So here we go. Question, what does the Bible say about eternity? You need to know the answer. You need to know the answer. And if you know the answer, you need to know how to tell somebody else if they drop dead on the floor and they yell, help me, help me. All right. What do we base our beliefs on? Well, what do we base our beliefs on, everybody? The Bible, right? The Word of God. So turn over to Hebrews chapter 2. Here we go. That was just my intro. Hallelujah. There's only one source to truth. It's the Word of God. Okay? And you need to know it. You need to know it, and then you need to know it to share to somebody. You need to know it, and then you need to know it to share it to somebody. Because you are not just sitting on your little selfish chair in life. God's placed you on the chair of life so that you have influence. And you're going to run into people. So that's why you need to know it, and you need to know how to share it. Okay, you guys all at Hebrews, say amen. Amen. Hebrews 2, 14 and 15, I'm going to read out of the New Living. Because God's children are human beings made of flesh, raise your hand if you're a human being made out of flesh and blood. All right. The Son, Jesus, also became flesh and blood. For only as a human being could he die. Listen, Jesus did not come to be an angel. Jesus did not come to earth as just God, because God is eternal. He couldn't die. So Jesus came to earth as God and then 100% man. All right. Did you get your things clicking here? All right. So. Where am I? So the Son, Jesus, also became flesh and blood, for only as a human being could he die. And only by dying could he break the power of the devil, who had the power, underline that, of death. All right? In this way, he could deliver or set free those who have, underline that part, those who have lived all their lives slaves to the fear of dying. All right. So that testimony about that Dr. Maurice, all right. He's running into people. That guy was fear. All right. I like the Message Bible. It says, Jesus freed all who cowered through life, scared to death of death. People are walking around scared to death of death. All right. The King James simply says, release those who through fear of death all their lifetime subject to bondage. Okay. So who's behind the fear of death? Yeah. All right. Adam sinned in the garden. His sin brought death upon the earth. Death reigned because Adam sinned. So there we go. Satan's the author of that. Now, what does fear of death do to us? Hanging on the wall. Come on. Paralyzes you. All right. Makes you scared to death of death. Scared to death of death. Makes you scared to death of death. All right. And people start living in bondage. See, people start living in fear. And it just locks them up. All right. Now, people, whether they want to admit it or not, it says all are afraid of dying. All are afraid of death. All have fear of death until, right? Until, all right? My friend Bev used to work at a geriatric ward, and all you nurses probably have stories of this, but she said, I knew those that knew their Lord and Savior when they died. It was sweet. And she says, I knew those that did not. They went out screaming and cussing. All right? Screaming and cussing. Now, I've told this story before. I have a twin brother. He passed away in 1975. I was at York College. I got a phone call. I went home to North Jersey, went to bed that night, and I'm broken. I'm crying, okay? In 1975, I lived a pretty fun life, I thought, okay? I was having fun, and then this crashed on my life. So I'm upstairs on the top bunk, and I'm crying. And listen, I've been raised in a denomination that taught me there was a God, there was a Savior, there, and, you know, taught me a whole bunch of things. So I started praying, okay? And I actually did away with the Our Father and the Hail Mary. I just ditched that one, and I just started praying. I started talking to God, and I said, God, you know, oh, help me, God. Oh, help me, God. And like faster than I could click my fingers, I knew that the God I was talking to, I did not know. Right then. And then you talk about broken and horror and a mess. And then I realized I didn't know where my brother was, and I was like, I don't care about you. I didn't know what was going to happen to me. And fear of death became so real to me. Fear of dying became so real to me. And I cried out, God, if you're real, God, if you are really real, I need to know. And for the next 4 months, God plopped people in my path. Rocky Magnelli, cute little girl up in Leonia, Lodi, New Jersey. We worked as a lifeguard, and something different about her. And then I met her parents, something different about them. And, you know, she started telling me about Jesus. I was like, Jesus is for Sunday when you have to go to church. But, you know, I should have been listening. I was sort of listening because that ache and that fear was still so real. But anyway, next 4 months, I finally am introduced to the God I cried out to. God, if you're real, I need to know. And somebody sat me down and said, would you like to know that God is real and there is an eternity? I was like, yeah, da, da. So from that point on, I did not have fear. From that point on, I received a Savior who took that fear and then gave me peace and gave me joy, gave me a new life, and I love it. And I tell you what, from that moment forward, I have never feared death. I have great confidence. That is the one thing that I don't battle, fear of death. From 1975. Yeah, whatever. All righty. 1975. Turn over, I'll give you another scripture. Hallelujah. Revelations 12:10-11, when you get there, say, I'm there. I'm there. Revelation 12. Good. Revelation 12:10-11. The author of Revelation is the Apostle John. Now, let me give you some background. The Apostle John is he's been persecuted big time. And what have they done to him? He's exiled, that's right, on the Isle of Patmos, and he's just, you know, they tried killing him, they couldn't kill him, so they just thought, we'll just hide him out. And he's writing this, all right, to the people that are living at that time, and at that time, great persecution. If you think somebody's persecuted, you don't know squat, all right, great persecution, that they were, you know, burning people at the stake, they were lighting them on fire. And what happened is, Okay, I'll read the scripture and then I'll tell you what happened. Here we go. Then I heard a loud voice shouting across the heaven, "It has happened at last, the salvation and power and kingdom of our God and the authority of Jesus Christ. For the accuser of the brethren has been thrown down to earth. And the one who accuses our brothers and sisters before God day and night, and they have defeated him because the blood of the Lamb, because of what Jesus did, because Jesus died on a cross, he shed his blood." Okay, that's what that means. For the blood of the Lamb and because of their testimony, because they spoke it out. And because of that, they were not afraid to die. They were not afraid to die. Now, you got to go back to the blood. You got to go back to what that sentence means. That means they had believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. They believed that salvation had come to them because Jesus died on a cross and they had received him. Okay, and because of that, they didn't fear death. Now, whoever is the Caesar at that time is just, you say you're a Christian and they are just killing you, staking you up, lighting you on fire. And these people would not fear death. And what they thought, what Caesar thought would just extinguish this new thing that's going around town, it just made it just blow up even bigger. Because they didn't fear death, because they knew, all right? Hallelujah. So listen, the fear of death is one of Satan's tools to paralyze you. He wants to paralyze you, and when you are not afraid to die, he's got nothing on you. That's when you say, "I don't care, you can shoot me, you can pull my hair out, you can do whatever. I am not afraid because I know my Savior and I know what he's done and put in my life and I know where I am going and I have peace." And that'll just push fear out of your life when you know that. Amen? So if you're afraid to die, God wants you to be free. If you're afraid to die, if you know somebody, and you should be asking, especially when they get old. Joan, Joan's here. Tom, her husband. Joan's old. Is that what I really said? Tom went home to be with Jesus. How many years ago? 6 years ago. 6 years ago, minus one day or so, 2 weeks before, Tom was not ready to go to heaven. Was not. Joan knew it. And Joan had this amazing neighbor, still has him. He's moved away, but close. Brian. Brian comes knocking on the door. He had heard a word from God. He says, "I need to talk to Tom." Right? Need to talk to Tom. Joan's like, "Open the door, go get him." She knew it was going to go down. All right? Brian led her husband into a saving peace, minus fear. No Jesus. 2 weeks later, Tom passed away. Amen. So when you're sitting here, "Pastor D, come on, I know this." Good, I'm glad you do. But God is going to put people in your path that you get to rescue them from hell. Tell them how good and how great God is and that he's got a great plan for them and he's got eternity and they don't have to be afraid. And someday when they do die, whoosh, it's wonderful. Okay? So don't look at me like, "Oh my gosh, Pastor D, this is Bible basic." Yep, and there's a whole world going to hell unless we tell them, right? That's right. Okay, Jesus died on that cross to exchange. It's called the Great Exchange. He took our sins, he took them, and we deserve to die and go to hell. You deserved it. I deserved it. Some of you are really good at deserving it, okay? All right? And he exchanged, because he was sinless, he exchanged, and he took that, and he died for us, and he took his blood up to heaven, and it sprinkled it on the mercy seat, and God says, "You know, hey, it's all wiped out. Sin is wiped out. Sin is wiped out. The penalty for sin is wiped out. And all people have to do is just receive it. You just have to receive it." And Tom, 2 weeks before, received it. All right? The Great Exchange. And you are so vital to the kingdom of God of telling people there has been an exchange and you can have, you don't have to be afraid of dying. You don't have to have fear, period. We'll talk more about that next week. Okay, let me squeeze in one more, maybe two more scriptures. 1 John chapter 5. First John chapter 5. Okay. First John chapter 5. I'm going to read this one out of the, what I put up there. King James, something, New King James. This is the testimony God has given. This is the testimony God has given us, eternal life. And this life is in the Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. It's kind of black and white, pretty simple, guys. Right? All right. And these things I've written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know. You need to know this. You know that you have eternal life and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of the Lord God. Okay. Black and white. Really simple. Okay. If you have the Son, what do you have? Life. Man, you should shout it. I have life. I have eternal life if you have the Son of God. Okay. Real simple. If you don't have the Son, if you've not received the Son, what he's done, guess what you know you don't have? You know you don't have life, okay? All right. Now, if you believe in the name of the Son of God, Jesus, you know what? You know you have eternal life. You know you have life. You know you have life. I can remember sitting down with one of my kids. I think it was after my dad passed away. We had a couple of deaths going on around that time. And one of my kids, it kind of shook them. I had to sit them down and just explain this just about as simple as I could until they had received Jesus. My kids received Jesus around age 5 and up, 5 and 8, through that, okay? But this one child, this just kind of shook them, and I had to take them through this, and you take your kids through this. Show them, get the Bible out and show them, and say, listen, have you received Jesus? Have you believed on him and what he's done? Then you have life. You don't have to fear death. And we sat down one evening, and, you know, all of a sudden I could see this kid just like, okay, mommy, goodbye. You know, they go off. Da, 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 da. All right. So, yeah, you need to do this. All right. Hallelujah. So, the great news is to know. So, you know, I don't always like this approach. People are witnessing on the streets, and they go, hey, if you were to die today, do you know where you're going to go? It's not my favorite opening statement, but there's a whole lot of truth in that, right? I'm going to come up with a little preface for that. But that is the question. If you were to die, do you know? And when they don't know, they get scared. They've got fear in them. Okay, so you can get rid of that fear. All right, here we go. So the day you receive, hallelujah, that's the day of liberty. The day you receive, that's the day of liberty. Everybody say liberty. It means you're free from the fear of death. Hallelujah. Okay, last scripture, Romans 10, 9 and 10. All right. Romans 10, 9 and 10, 11 and 12 and 13. I don't know. Let's see. Romans 10. Here we go. How many of you like Romans 10, 9 and 10, 11? Man, that is when I knew. That is when I could put my head in the pillow and it was okay to close my eyes. I knew. I love this. All right. But I'm going to read it anyway. Okay. Romans 10 verse 9. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. All right. Verse 10. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, or being just right with God, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. This is good. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. Hallelujah. I'm just going to jump down to verse 13. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. All right. So who can be saved? Whoever. Red and yellow, black and white. That's whoever. How about this one? Very moral people. And the good, the bad, and the ugly people, right? They're part of the whoever. 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 How about religious people? Can they be saved? Oh, man, they need it, right? And those that have never set foot in church, can they be saved? Yeah, whoever. It's everybody. And you know why? Because all have sinned and all are in need of a Savior. That's why it's a whoever. Okay, so look at that scripture again. That's good. All right, now, what do we have to do? believe in our heart, right? Believe in our heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. And that's just telling everything that happened on the cross, everything that happened when Jesus went to hell. And the best part is when he rose and he sits in heaven. So you got to understand the whole story. I love these denominations that have the cross with Jesus on the cross. Get him off the cross. He's not there. Besides, that used to creep me out. Just as a little kid, I was like, oh, that looks so bad. I can't even look. But you do need to know what happened with him on the cross, okay? All right, so when you believe in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, you're believing all that happened here, here, and here, all right? And the second part, listen, there's a lot of people believe in Jesus historically, all right? They come to church on Sunday. Easter Sunday, excuse me, all right? They believe about Jesus, all right? There's a lot of people, but that's not going to give you that fear from death. That means you have to do the next part. Believe and confess. Confess with your mouth, okay? Confess with your mouth, all right? You confess that you're a sinner. You confess that you need a Savior, and you welcome him to your life. Pretty simple, all right? Listen, but people are dying and they're in bondage of fear because they don't know this. And you know this. This is tremendous. All righty. Let's see. How do we wrap up here? Ooh, ding, ding, ding. Time's up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise God. You know, let me talk about this confession. This confession is when you acknowledge Jesus to be Lord of your life, and actually you let him take his right place. It's sort of like I'm in the driver's seat my whole life until 1975. I am driving all these crazy places and doing things I should not have been doing. And then I did some good things, okay? I'm in the driver's seat. The day I believe in the Lord Jesus and what he did on the cross for me, I get out of that seat and I let Jesus take his rightful place in my life. So a lot of people just say that prayer. You're not getting behind the steering wheel. No way. All right. Okay. I question salvation then. All right. So here, when I acknowledge Jesus as the Lord of my life, I get out of that seat. I let Jesus take the driving seat, the steering wheel. I let him be boss of my life. And I submit to that. Okay. There's some days, you know, I sort of try to shove him over there, okay? But I have submitted to him being Lord of my life. I have to remember to ask him first some things. You know, anybody have a backseat driver? Okay, that's me trying to tell Jesus how to run my life, all right? So I try, don't do that, D. Just say, you know, God, what are your plans for my life? How do I do this? What do I do? You know, I do that, all right? All right. I'm going to ask the question. If you're here today and you have fear of dying, is it because you have never asked Jesus to be the Savior and receive what he's done? All right? Now, bow your heads, close your eyes. All right? Now, we're going to do this together because most of you, I know you have, but I know there's some people here I don't know that have, all right? We're going to pray this together, okay? But if you're here and you are ready to surrender your life to a Savior and Lord, okay, well, just raise your hand. I'm not going to say, point you out or anything like that. You're ready to ask him to forgive. You're ready to receive him. Just say, Pastor D, that's me. Raise your hand, all right? Now, this is a goodie. How many of you have already done that, but keep your eyes closed, don't look at anybody, all right? But you've walked away from him. You've walked away from him being the driver's seat, okay? You've walked away from walking away with him. You've walked away from not walking with the Lord Jesus. You know, this would be a good time to say, Lord, forgive me, and I want to let you be the Lord of my life. I've made you Savior, but I haven't made you Lord. This would be a good time. So we're all going to say this together, all righty? Everybody say it. We're going to say it out loud, all right, in case someone's never done this, and you're going to learn how to lead someone to the Lord, all right? Here we go. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for sending your son Jesus. Oh, man, to die on the cross for me. I believe He took my sins. And I believe you raised him from the dead. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, I open my heart. I invite you in. I receive you now. May 31st. I receive you now to be my Lord and Savior. I'm now a child of God. I'm heaven bound. I have no fear. And then I can boldly say, Jesus is the Lord of my life. Amen. Amen. Praise God. All right. If you prayed that for the very first time, or you prayed that because you just have kind of walked away and you come home, would you come up and tell me? I'd love to hear about it. Okay. Plus, I have some freebies for you. Now, second thing, hey, we're doing good. Yeah.